All right, a Thursday Locked On Syracuse podcast. We're going to talk some basketball today. Been a little bit since we have done that. Also got to get into some ACC football power rankings. Where does Syracuse stack up in those power rankings? We'll dive into all of that next.
You are Locked On Syracuse, your daily podcast on the Syracuse Orange, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Tim Leonard, Tyler Rocky, happy you could join us on this Thursday as we are counting down to Liberty, 8 p.m. tomorrow night. If you are listening when we drop this, you can find the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We're here with you guys every single weekday. If you're a big-time Syracuse fan, this is the place to stay up to date on all things Cuse. Also, check us out on YouTube. Just search our YouTube page, Locked On Syracuse. Subscribe there. Get some reminders when we go live there. Going to be doing some extra content there, as well as we get further into football season, then ultimately basketball season, which is getting closer and closer, Ty. And we've got some basketball news to catch up on today. I'm kind of excited to talk some hoops for a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Syracuse football hasn't given you a whole heck of a lot to be excited about, right? And what do we always say? Get us to basketball season. Just be interesting enough to get us to basketball season. I think one of the better examples of that was the 2015 season. So Eric Dungy's first season at Syracuse.
Yep.
Where they started off 3-0. You play a close game against LSU, a close-ish game against LSU, and you played a close-ish game against Clemson. Like, it got you to basketball season, right? And then that basketball team obviously goes on to win the Final Four or go to the Final Four, and they win the battle for Atlantis. Get us to basketball season. Just get us there. Liberty, Florida State, and then it's going to feel like we're practically there.
Right. It's coming up, and it's crazy. This non-conference schedule for the Hoops team, we've talked about it a little bit recently, but that's a gauntlet. Like, seeing it laid out in full on paper, it's kind of scary how tough it is, because even if you're high on this team, Syracuse teams with new pieces in the 2-3 zone typically don't gel and play great recently in the non-conference portion. So it's going to be very interesting to see how they handle Atlantis, ACC Big Ten against Indiana, some early tough ACC games, and just how the schedule is laid out.
Absolutely. And you know my love for Atlantis. There are trends that follow winning the battle for Atlantis and going to the Final Four. We'll unveil those to you as we get closer to that time. But if you win the battle for Atlantis, there's a pretty good chance you're going to the Final Four. Just saying.
It's been a good indicator.
Yep. Something in that tropical water down there.
Right. All right. So four things to touch on basketball-wise. We can kind of go rapid fire through some of these thoughts. The first one, Andy Katz releases a list of his top 10 returning players. And Buddy Boeheim checks in at number 9, I believe, which is a pretty strong ranking for Buddy there. He obviously got a lot of praise in the NCAA tournament. Andy Katz, I think, does work for NCAA.com. So maybe that's part of the rankings there. But he also put Syracuse as a 5 seed in his early diagnosis of bracketology, which we've seen other bracketologies conveniently have Syracuse right on the bubble. But I started to think the more I looked at Andy Katz's list and the way Buddy played at the end of last year, it's not crazy for him to be an All-American this year.
Right, because you think about it. Okay, there's 3 All-American teams, right? And if you're in that top 10, pretty good chance that you're going to be, you're at least going to be a preseason All-American, right? Because how many freshmen usually make that list? Maybe 2, right? Sometimes 3. So to me, that screams, okay, he's going to be a preseason All-American by most people's accounts. And rightfully so. I think people kind of bottled up that last 10-game stretch that he had to close out last season. And guess what? He played like an All-American at the end of that. He was one of the 10 best players in college basketball to close out the season last year.
Which, who's the last preseason All-American? Like, legit All-American to play at Syracuse? I mean, I don't know, CJ Fair, maybe?
Time. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
probably have to go back to CJ Fair.
Yeah, and I don't even know if he was, because, I mean, he was a good player all throughout his Syracuse career, but I feel like that team that he was on his senior year when they first joined the ACC, like, you're not going to have Tyler Ennis on that team. He was one of the better players, but he's not going to be preseason. So, I don't know. That's pretty awesome.
Too. And you think about it, you keep going back, like, okay, who are some of the candidates that you could have had? Really, the only candidate that I could think of is maybe Tyus Battle. And obviously, he didn't do it. But that's the closest Syracuse has had to having a candidate for a preseason All-American. Is Battle into that junior season?
Yeah, I mean, they've had some really good players, whether it's Elijah Hughes, who has stepped up and been in the ACC Player of the Year quasi conversation. But even that year, I don't think Hughes was an all-ACC preseason guy when he became an ACC Player of the Year
candidate. Because he developed into that. It was kind of like the keys had been given to him to take that team on. And this year, the keys aren't being given to Buddy. Buddy's had the keys, all right? He's a 17-year-old now with the card, not a 16-year-old. So I think that he's in a good position for it. I think the offense and the surrounding parts are going to set him up nicely. He may not have the counting stats, but he might have the efficiency and the impact to be the all-American type of player.
So another thing that popped up basketball-wise in the past week or so, and I'm going to try not to laugh as I read this John Rothstein tweet because his vernacular just gets me every time, but he starts it by saying, this is from John Rothstein, who of course covers college hoops for CBS Sports. He said, well-embedded moles in upstate New York, it's not upstate New York, but that's fine, John, continue to rave about Cole Swider's prognosis for Syracuse. The Villanova transfer should add more shooting to Joe Girard and Buddy Boeheim and will also be tailor-made for the 2-3 zone. That's his tweet. This is pretty customary for Rothstein. I think he did this about Kadari Richmond last year. I think he had Jalen Carey 1 year.
Jalen Carey was definitely,
Yeah.
So, Kadari stuff, I think, aged decently.
Oh, yeah, right. I mean, yeah, and the Kadari hype was not just John Rothstein last year. There was a lot of preseason hype for Kadari.
Well, it's
for
moles. Moles have the all the hype. They're the ones putting moles. The coal into the to this machine here.
Yeah, it's hard not to laugh, but that is a positive that he's hearing good things about Cole Swider. He's probably hearing it from an assistant coach or something, so I'm not going to like overreact to this. But Cole Swider's a big piece this year, and I do think he's going to play a good role and play a strong role this year. And he does fit relatively well into the 2-3 zone. I don't think he's that athletic, but he does have a lot of size to him, which has to help. And they are much longer in this year's 2-3 zone.
And that's the part to me that stands out is him fitting into the 2-3 zone. Both you and I know he's going to be an asset for this team offensively. He can shoot, stretch the floor, space things out. You're going to have a lot of shooters out there. You might have 5 shooters out there at a time with this team heading into this season. Who knows how the lineups are going to all shape out, but to hear that they like how he fits into the 2-3 zone, because you and I had the concern with his defense heading into this season. If he can bring something defensively, and some of these other guys can step up defensively, that completely changes my outlook on this team. This is going to be a top 20 offense in the country, maybe even top 10 in the entire country. Okay. And if you want to get really bold, I don't think it's outlandish to say they could be a top 5 offense in the country. Like there will be some hot take artists out there that will say that heading into this season. The defense is going to be what's holding them back. And if they play defense, then this is, yes, a bona fide team that you can look at as maybe being a sleeper Final Four contender. But if they're not playing defense, all that goes out the window.
Right. And, you know, it brought me back to our conversation when we had Cole Swider on the podcast. I'd encourage any new listener or anyone that missed that, go back and check that. It's maybe
we should upload that to YouTube. We will do that.
We're working on trying to get some of those old interviews out there on YouTube as well, so you can watch them. Maybe if you've listened to them in the past, check them back out, actually watching them. But Cole Swider, what did he tell us on that interview? He kept talking about, man, I just really think I'm tailor-made for Syracuse. Like, that's why they recruited him hard initially. That's why he was recruited hard this time around. He talked about how him and Buddy pick and pop, and it just got me really excited because I think he does have a lot of valid points in that regard. Like, yes, he's not athletic defensively, but he's probably better off in a 2-3 zone defense than what he was playing at Villanova, which was not the best style for him with constantly switching man-to-man type of defense.
Right, and he's a bigger guy too, so that stuff is going to play into it. Again, I have to see it with him defensively. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to believe it until I see it with most of these guys defensively. And so far, a number of these guys on the roster haven't shown it to me defensively. I think the only guys that really have off the top of my head that have really made an impact defensively, I think it starts and ends with Jesse Edwards. I guess Barama too, but who knows what his health situation is going to be like.
Yeah.
But those are really the only two guys that I've seen anything defensively out of on this roster.
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, maybe Benny will be a better defender, but it's a good point.
I need to see it. Quincy was iffy even,
and he's gone. So, yeah, Alan Griffin gave you some shot blocking last year that you're going to have to replace. I don't think he was great rotationally in the zone, but yeah, that's a good point. All right, this episode is brought to you guys by rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. So why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questions and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand the warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. You can save time and money when using Rock Auto. That's what I do every time I need to make an update to my Jeep now. I never even go to the brick and mortar stores anymore.
That thing's still humming, man.
It's still going, man. The AC is crapped out.
Without rockauto.com. Without rockauto.com, is this thing still on the road?
No way. That's a good point. I've taken it to rockauto.com for parts too many times to count in the past couple years. But yeah, the Jeep is still somehow humming. My 2008 Jeep Compass. Rock Auto, a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Go to rockauto.com, see all the parts available for your car or truck, and write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box, and they know that we sent you. Again, that's important. Put Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you to rockauto.com. So a couple other basketball thoughts here. Recruiting-wise now, some good news because Peter Carey and Chris Bunch, two of the top targets in that 2022 class that has changed and evolved over time here, they're both planning visits this weekend. Not sure if they're overlapping. Carey's had been known for a little bit longer, and I feel really good about our chances of landing Carey. But Chris Bunch, this was kind of just announced today as of us recording on Wednesday that Mike Waters had spoken to his father, and he is coming this weekend. That's fresh off him going on a visit to Washington. So a little Hopkins-Boeheim duel there, which is always intriguing. But two guys that I'd love to get and two guys that I think we have a pretty good shot at getting are coming this weekend.
Yeah, Chris Bunch is the name that I think jumps off a little bit more to me than Peter Carey. I just don't see the need for another sort of project center on this team because you've already got a couple more years of Jesse, of Frank Anselm. I know Barama's out the door after this, but and then John Bowles is going to be on your roster too. I just don't see the need for a fourth center for the foreseeable future on this team. Chris Bunch, the wings are very interchangeable. You see some of these wings, they're here for a year or two and then they go to the NBA. They're here for a year or two and then they transfer. So right. I'd much rather add to the wing depth as opposed to the front court.
Yeah, and I'm hearing some pretty good things about the way Frank Anselm is playing in practice and everything. Jesse seems to be taking another step up, hopefully. I mean, he was showing those flashes at the end of last year. So I feel overall pretty good about the center position. I'm kind of iffy on this one because it does seem like the coaching staff feels like they identified kind of a diamond in the rough here. And we've seen them sort of hit gold in that regard, even at the center position where Peter Carey starts out. And we talked about how he just wasn't playing much because of COVID, and that's why his rankings were down. And we were probably a little more impressed with his tape than initially. But at the same time, you hear comments from his high school coach. I think I read an article, I forget from who and when it was, but saying stuff like, really what we need to figure out now is if he can play at the level of Syracuse and if him going to Syracuse makes sense for his playing time. And that scares me a little bit.
That scares me. And also, okay, even if he is a diamond in the rough, okay, we've seen these diamond in the roughs that Syracuse picks up over the last couple of years, whether it's going to Canada and getting guys, going to and finding Marek. But the diamonds in the rough usually contribute in years 1 and 2. I don't see a roadmap for Peter Carey to contribute in years 1 and 2. Because guess what? Jesse has gotten better and better each year. And if everything we're hearing about Frank Anselm, about him being an, like, let's not forget, this was once upon a time a top, 50, 75 guy in his initial recruiting class, which should have been this upcoming class, the one that is going to be freshman this season. So let's treat this year, which I guess with the redshirt COVID year, this year technically is his freshman year coming up here. He's essentially a top 100 guy that's coming into your front court for the upcoming season.
And Boeheim said that, right? He said, Frank
this
was
is his
to be
timeline.
Yeah.
He is now on his initial timeline, which I think is very important.
Right, and you could make a case, all right, he's a top 50 kid in this class, but he's also had a year to bulk up a little bit and learn our offense, so maybe he's more like a top 40, top 30. I'm high on him. I don't think he's being talked about enough, maybe as a key part of the center position going forward. There's so much talk about Jesse, and I'm also high on him, so that's why overall I feel good about center. I would not be surprised if Peter Carey commits maybe even shortly after making this visit. because there's not a lot of other schools, and I don't know anything, but there's not a lot of other schools out there that are at the pedigree of Syracuse that are going after him as strong as Syracuse is. And it seems like there's a lot of mutual interest there, and he's making the visit. So Chris Bunch would be the one I'd really want to get out of those two, though.
Yeah. One thing that almost concerns me a little bit with Carey, too, and you're going to start to see this now with the inception of NIL, where can he make the most money? Can he make more money as a bench warmer at Syracuse versus being the star of St. Bonaventure or William and Mary? Guess what? The answer is yes. He will make more money as the bench warmer at Syracuse than a star at one of these really small programs that he might be able to be a really good player at. And that, to me, this is where things can get a little bit hairy, where, okay, maybe there's guys that are coming onto your – it almost feels a little bit bachelor, bachelorette a little bit.
Sure.
Are they here for the wrong reasons? Like, is that what we're looking at here? Because guess what? He is going to make more money being the 12th, 13th man on Syracuse than he will at some of these other schools, being a star.
Yeah. Another recruiting note here, another 2022 guy, J.J. Starling, seems like the Duke rumors are picking up for him. There was a Duke crystal ball. He announced the top five.
Talk about Shire. Isn't it? I mean,
yeah,
he's on a heater right now. I mean, what does he have, three top 10 guys? He just got Derek Lively in the class. We talked about this. Like, should Syracuse – are they going to take a step ahead of Duke now in recruiting, now that Kay is on the way out? The answer then was no, and the answer I think now we have
emphatically no. Yeah, yes, I mean, they look really good. And so and I think UNC's been solid, but Duke has been very impressive. Kentucky's got another outstanding class coming up as well. But I guess that's the case as to why maybe we're still in the running there with Starling. Is there's a lot of talented dudes that have already committed. There's one guy I think at his position that's already committed in that cycle. So it wouldn't shock me if he doesn't go to Duke, but I see crystal balls nowadays, and they're usually right nowadays. And there just hasn't been a lot of Syracuse. Right. Hasn't been a lot of Syracuse talk recently. And from the beginning, I never really felt great about J.J. Starling, the way he talked about maybe wanting to go out and go away from home for college, which I totally get. So we'll keep you guys updated on that.
You know what I like in the crystal balls, too? Here's what I think crystal balls are like. They are kind of like TMZ reports now.
Mm-hmm.
Where remember like 5-10 years ago, TMZ was like 50-50 with actually getting the story right.
Yeah.
Nowadays, TMZ, the overarching story is almost always correct.
Right.
Sometimes the details are wrong. Actually,
yeah, they came out with Kobe.
The details, the little details are sometimes wrong. But the overarching story and the headline that people care about is usually correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, let's take one last quick break on the show. We'll come back. We'll talk some ACC football rankings. But first, I want to tell you guys about SweatBlock, which is doctor-created, doctor-recommended. It is a great way to just avoid that awkward sweating in big moments, big interviews, big speeches, big dates, anything like that. You wear what you want to wear. Your little secret to confidence is SweatBlock. It is dry shirt guaranteed. If SweatBlock doesn't keep you dry, you get your money back. It has been featured and tested on The Rachel Ray Show by firefighters. It's a bestseller on Amazon for the past 10 years and currently the number one Amazon antiperspirant out there in that category. It's manufactured right here in the USA and works for up to 7 days per use. It is SweatBlock. So remember, next time you've got a big meeting coming up, or if it's just hot wherever you are, if you're in a hot climate right now, SweatBlock is the thing to go to if you're going on a workout, going on a run. No more pitting out. No more picking my shirts based on which one will hide sweat better. If you or someone you love is dealing with this, you have to check out SweatBlock. Get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that is LOCKEDON, the promo code for 20% off at sweatblock.com, or you can get it at Amazon or CVS.
Also, we're back and better than ever. It's the NFL and college football seasons, and we're only a handful of weeks in. And as always, Bet Online is your number one spot for all the pro and college betting action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, betonline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football and football gambling. So head on over to the website or use your phone to sign up and receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use the promo code NFL100. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers for the 2021 season. Use BetOnline. Use what Tim and I use to get in all those weekend wagers. I know when Tim's got action because I get texts. He knows when I have action because he's getting texts. And it's all because of BetOnline.ag. They've got great stuff for Syracuse games, all that and more. So go to BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
We'll be making our pick for the Syracuse game tomorrow on the show. Have your full Liberty preview coming out. DeBundo's Digits.
Prop shop.
Yep. We got to update that, and that'll be fun. And if you missed any Liberty talk with Drew Carter, check that out. That was on yesterday's podcast. But real quick, we'll wrap up talking about some football here. And the ACC football power rankings have been on our mind this week. They've been dropping them each week. You see it all the time. Different outlets, 24/7 Sports, ESPN. Most of them are putting Syracuse kind of around the 12 mark. I've seen a lot so far out of 14 schools, Florida State being 14, pretty consensus after starting 0-3. I guess the question is, where do they stack up in the ACC? And when I dug into it, I'm leaning more that they're the 11th team right now, just based on what I've seen from Georgia Tech, Duke, and Florida State. Those are the three I had behind Syracuse. Where do you kind of fit Syracuse into your power rankings?
I look at 12 as being the right number here for them. Okay. And here's why. A big part of my evaluation on this is I care more about who you've beaten. Okay. And look at some of these teams that are ahead, the Dukes, the Pitts, the Miamis. They've got, Pitt went out and beat Tennessee on the road. Okay. Yeah.
They also lost to Western Michigan.
They did lose to Western Michigan, but I care more about your wins than your losses here. Mm-hmm. Okay. Duke beat Northwestern. They beat a Big Ten opponent that they needed to, like, Syracuse had a chance to beat a Big Ten opponent. Right. And they did not.
In my case, as to why Duke is behind them, I think I care more about losses than you. And Duke lost to Charlotte, who had never won an FBS game or a Power Five game, I should say. Right.
We're just looking at it through two different lenses. Sure. I care more about who you beat, because ultimately wins help you elevate more so than I think losses knock you down a few pegs. Because, like, we've seen Clemson look very unimpressive this year. Yeah. But guess what? Like, their losses only bump them down a handful of spots each time. Now, your wins can really elevate you. They can turn you from being like the 50th team in the country to maybe bringing you, if you beat a really good team, into the top 25. So I value what you do from a winning perspective more so than what you have done from a losing perspective. Listen, at the end of the day, we thought the ACC was going to be a much better conference this year. I don't think it is going to be a much better conference after seeing these first handful of weeks.
Yeah, that's the good news for Syracuse. The ACC is not good, and there's a lot of winnable games out there. And the teams that we are worried about, BC has lost Phil Jurkovic, probably out for the year at quarterback. NC State has lost their best defensive player and a couple key pieces to their team. And I ran some numbers. ACC right now is 3-8 against out-of-conference Power 5 teams. So not good so far. Yeah. And really, when you dig into it further, here are the three wins. You mentioned Pitt. They went on the road at Tennessee. Pretty good win, but then they followed up losing to Western Michigan. That doesn't count in the eight losses because that's not even a Power 5 team, but still not a good look for the ACC. UVA beat Illinois. Pretty decent win, I guess. And then Duke over
Illinois has fallen off a lot ever since then.
And Northwestern is like, you know, they're Northwestern. That's not a huge win from Duke at home. So that's your three wins. They've also had some bad losses. Florida State to Jacksonville State. We all know about that. Duke to Charlotte. Mm-hmm. Georgia Tech lost to Northern Illinois so far. Pitt over losing to Western Michigan, which I've talked about. It's been a tough start for the ACC from an injury standpoint. And even at the top, Clemson and UNC haven't looked as good as I thought they might have looked.
I'm with you. I mean, listen, the conference is down this year. And it's unfortunate that Syracuse, you figured a team that had a veteran quarterback, really two veteran quarterbacks, it'd be ripe for the pickings to have one of those pop up 8-4 seasons, but it just doesn't feel like all the pieces are in place for that to happen right now. We saw it. They were in place a couple seasons ago when they did have that 10-3 year, But unfortunately, right now, I've got way too many questions about the offensive line, way too many questions about the quarterback, and way too many questions about the head coach. And yeah. When you have those three glaring issues, you're not going to be a bowl team. You're not going to be an 8-win team when that's the case.
Right. And the case, you could also say that, okay, it's early. Let's not overreact. I mean, after week one, I thought Florida State was pretty decent. Honestly, I was pretty scared of playing them. And now, boom, 2 weeks later, they lose terribly to Wake Forest and obviously blow it late against Jacksonville State. They're 0-3. And I'm like, wow, bring on the Seminoles. I think we can win that game.
Yeah.
So that's college football for you. But I don't know. I mean, I do think the ACC schedule and wins are out there more than I thought. And a lot of my thesis as to why Syracuse was going to struggle this year is I thought the ACC maybe wasn't going to be better, but they're going to be a whole lot better than this, at least. And so far, it has not looked good for them.
Yeah, our initial prognostication was that this team, at least I believe mine was, I don't think they're going to win a game in ACC play.
Yeah.
Now they might. Or now I feel much better that they will win. Probably two. I think two is a safe number. You get a couple home games.
Yeah, and there's just so many of these teams like Pitt, Virginia, even Louisville. I mean, I think Louisville could be decent. We just don't really know. Like, they gave Ole Miss a pretty good game. Ole Miss has continued.
And Ole Miss has a Heisman front runner now. That's something. That's one of those little Easter eggs of the college football season that happens every single year. There's always that pop-up quarterback that enters his name into the Heisman race and then works his way into the first round of the NFL draft. Matt Corral is that guy right now. He's the guy who has worked himself into the Heisman race. So that opening week loss now doesn't look as bad. And they went toe-to-toe with USF and or UCF, I believe it was. Yeah, UCF. One of the top offenses in the country, and they beat them. So
crazy
all of a sudden,
ending,
Louisville looks a lot better.
Right. You know, you're talking about that quarterback before we get out of here. I think last year that might have been Malik Willis, the way you're describing it, how he vaulted himself into the NFL draft conversation. And obviously we will talk all things Liberty tomorrow on the podcast. But yeah, I think I'm with you. It's 11 or 12 right now is where Syracuse is.
Listen,
in the ACC.
You can make 9 through 14 interchangeable, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe there's certain teams that you cannot elevate above 12, like Florida State, Georgia Tech. You're probably – if you were to do a bracket matrix version of the ACC power rankings, they're 13, 14 on pretty much every single one. But 9 to 12, you can shuffle those teams anywhere, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, I had in my list BC 8, Wake 9, Louisville 10, and then kind of another tier that starts with Syracuse and those teams we're mentioning there in the back half. And look, BC, Wake, Louisville, they haven't really played a whole – I mean, Louisville has played some teams. We just talked about them. BC has not played anyone, and they just lost their quarterback, so that's a big question mark. Wake did beat Florida State, but hands up there. I mean, what is Florida State at this point? And they haven't played anyone really outside of that. So
I think there's a lot of questions about Miami too.
I'd say so.
I am not the biggest Manny Diaz fan as a head coach.
No.
He's had talent, and he hasn't delivered. So I think his seat could be warming up very soon.
As bad as it is for Syracuse, it is baffling to me how bad Miami and Florida State have been recently.
Well, did you see the stat? Miami, it was like the first time since like the 50s, I want to say it was, that Florida State and Miami all lost on the same weekend.
Wow. I mean, they have no excuses. We've got some excuses recruiting-wise and some disadvantages.
Yes.
Miami, Florida State, they're getting dudes, and they're just flat-out losing, and it's inexcusable, really, what's happening down there. But all right, that'll wrap up the Thursday podcast. Back tomorrow, full Liberty preview. We'll try and get it out because it is a Friday game a little bit earlier than normal, so be on the lookout for that wherever you get your podcast.
I mean, these Friday games, and there's another one too. I think they play Clemson on a Friday, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep,
so.
I think so. Yeah, so
it's Friday, 8
p.m.,
man.
Circle it on the calendar. We got our guy Drew Carter on the call. Check that out if you missed that one yesterday, but we will be back with you guys tomorrow giving you everything Liberty, a full Liberty preview on the docket tomorrow, and we'll talk to you guys then.